Well, a pleasant good evening to you again, my fellow listeners. I am back on BBS Radio again to bring the good news to you. And I thank God for this opportunity again that He has been using me to do this. And I pray today's message would really be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you today about knowledge that leads to everlasting life. And this is the good news I'm talking about. Knowledge that leads to everlasting life. You know what? You can have a good future. You can. A warm embrace from someone you love. Hearty laughter during a good meal with dear friends. And the pleasure of watching your children cheerfully at play. And moments like these are bright spots in life. For many, however, life seems to present one serious problem after another. And so, if that has been your experience, please take heart. It is God's will that you enjoy lasting happiness under the best conditions in wonderful surroundings. This is no mere dream, for God actually offers the key to such a happy future. And that key is knowledge. Yes, that key is knowledge. And so we are talking about a special kind of knowledge that is far greater than human wisdom. It is the very knowledge of God. And so we can find that in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a Bible writer said, "Every house is constructed by someone, but he that constructed all things is God." I will say that again. Every house is constructed by someone, but he that constructed all things is God. And we can also find that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. Think of the knowledge that the maker of all things must possess. The Bible says that God counts and names all the stars. What a staggering thought. Since there are hundreds of billions of stars in our own galaxy, and astronomers say that there are about 100 billion other galaxies. And you can look that up in Psalms 147, verse 4. God also knows all about us. So who else could provide better answers to life's important question? Who else? Turn to Matthew 10:30. Now picture this. Picture two men trying to repair their cars. Frustrated, one man throws down his tools and the other calmly corrects the problem, turns the ignition, and a big smile as the engine rolls, started up, and runs smoothly. You would not have a hard time guessing which of the two men had instruction manual from the manufacturer? Does it not make sense that God would provide instructions to guide us in life? Does it not? As you may know, the Bible claims to be just that, a book of instruction and guidance from our Creator, designed to impart the knowledge of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And so if the Bible's claim is true, think of what treasures of knowledge that book must contain. So at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, it urges us to seek wisdom, to dig for it as we would for a hidden treasure. Not in the soil of human thinking, but in God's own word. And so if we search there, we will find the very knowledge of God. Since God understands our limitations and needs, He gives us an instruction that will help us to lead peaceful, happy lives. And you can find that in Psalms 103, in verse 14, Isaiah 48, 17. And furthermore, the knowledge of God offers us exciting good news. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. The well-known historical figure Jesus Christ described this feature of the knowledge of God in clear terms. He said, this means everlasting life. They're taking a knowledge of you, the only true God, and of the one whom you sent for, Jesus Christ. That's in John 17:3. Imagine knowledge that leads to everlasting life. Do not quickly dismiss everlasting life as a mere dream. Do not. Instead, look at the human body, how it is made. It is splendidly designed to taste, hear, smell, see, and feel. There is so much on the earth that delights our senses. Delicious food, I love so much. Pleasant bird songs when I go to the park. Fragrant flowers when I go to the botanical garden. Beautiful scenery when I go driving. Pleasant companionship. And our amazing brain is far more than a supercomputer. For it enables us to appreciate and enjoy all things. Do you think that our Creator wants us to die and lose all this? Would it not be more reasonable to conclude that He wants us to live happily and to enjoy life forever? Well, that is what the knowledge of God can mean for you and I, and life in paradise. A life in paradise. What the Bible says about the future of the earth and mankind might be summed up in one word: paradise. Jesus Christ spoke of it when He told a dying man, "This day you will be with me in paradise." The mention of paradise no doubt brought that man's mind the happy state of our first parents, Adam and Eve. When God created them, they were perfect and lived in a garden-like park that the Creator had designed and planted. It was fittingly called the Garden of Eden, which name denotes pleasure. How delightful that garden was. It was a real paradise. Among its beautiful trees were those bearing delicious fruit. As Adam and Eve explore their domain, drank from its sweet waters, and gathered fruit from its trees, they had no reason to be anxious or fearful. Even animals posed no threat, for God had placed the man and his wife in loving dominion over all of them. In addition, the first human pair had vibrant health as long as they remained obedient to God. An eternal happy future lay before them. As long as we remain obedient, good things will always be before us. They were given the satisfying work of caring for their wonderful paradise home. Further, God gave Adam and Eve the mandate to fill the earth and subdue it. They and their offspring were to extend the borders of paradise until our entire planet became a place of beauty and delight. Check that out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When Jesus mentioned paradise, however, he was not asking a dying man to think about the distant past. No, no, not at all. Jesus was speaking about the future. He knew that our entire earthly home would become a paradise. God would thus fulfill his original purpose for mankind and our earth. Yes, paradise will be stored. It will be restored. And what it will be like? What would it be like? Let's God word, the Holy Bible answer. Let it answer. Life in the restored paradise. Let the Bible answer. Sickness, old age, and death will no longer exist. It will be a thing of the past, all forgotten out of the mind of God and us. At that time, the eyes of the blind ones will be opened. Yes, because they will be in paradise at that time. And the very ears of the deaf ones will be unstopped. At that time, the lame one will climb up just as a stag does, and the tongue of the speechless one will cry out in gladness. Find that in Isaiah 35, verse 6 and 7. God himself will be with mankind, and he will wipe our very tear from our eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be any more. For the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. The former things will be passed away. crime, such as crime, violence, and wickedness will be gone forever into eternity. Evildoers themselves will be cut off just a little while longer, and the wicked one will be no more. Just hold fast, just a little while longer. All the wicked ones will be no more. He will not be. But the Bible said the meek ones themselves will possess the earth. Psalms 37, 9 to 11. As regards the wicked, they will be cut off from the very earth. And as for the treacherous, they will be torn away from it. If you want backup, find it in Proverbs 22. Find it in Proverbs 22. When Jesus spoke of paradise, what did he have in mind? Peace will prevail earthwide. God, God is making wars to cease to the extremity of the earth. The bow he breaks apart and does cut the spear in pieces. The righteous one will sprout, and the abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Psalm 72, verse 7. Housing will be secure and work satisfied. Big changes are come. The songwriter say, the change is going to come. The change is going to come. They will certainly build houses and have occupancy. They will not build and someone else have occupancy. They will not plant and someone else do the reaping or eating. For like the days of a tree will the days of my people be, and the word of their own hands, and the work of their own hands, my chosen ones, will use to the full. So whatever you put your hands to, it will be properly used. They will not toil for nothing, nor will they bring to birth for disturbance. Nothing like that. Isaiah 65, 21 to 23. Healthful food will be available in abundance for God's people. There will come to be plenty of grain on the earth again. On the top of the mountains, there will be an overflow. The earth itself will certainly give its produce. God, our God, will bless us. Everlasting life on a paradise earth will be delightful. The righteous themselves will possess the earth, and they will reside forever upon it. Check it out in Psalms 37, verse 29. The wilderness and the waterless region will exult, and the desert plain will be joyful and blossom as the saffron, says Isaiah 35, 1. So there is knowledge. And for your future, knowledge and your future, if life in paradise appeals to you, let nothing hold you back from gaining the knowledge of God. He who loves mankind and will bring about the changes needed to make the earth a paradise. After all, if you had the power to end the misery and injustice so prevalent in the world, Would you not do so? Would we expect God to do less? Actually, the Bible speaks in vivid terms of a time when God will remove this strife-ridden system and replace it with a perfect righteous rule. Daniel 2:44. But the Bible does much more than tell us about all of this. It shows us how we can survive into God's promise, new world. Yes, and that is found in 2 Peter 3:13, 1 John 2:17. The knowledge of God can also do much for you right now. Life's deepest and most disturbing questions are answered in the Bible. Accepting it, its guidance, will help you to develop a friendship with God. What a grand privilege. And this will enable you to enjoy the peace that God alone can give. Romans 15:13-33. And as you begin to take in this vital knowledge, you are embarking on the most important and rewarding endeavor of your life. You will never regret acquiring the knowledge of God that leads to everlasting life. We have referred to the Bible as the book of containing the knowledge of God. Yet, how do we know that it is not a book of human wisdom, but something far greater? How do we know? We will consider this question. You must consider this question. You must. For the book is a book that reveals the knowledge of God. And it is only reasonable that our loving Creator will provide a book of instructions and guidance for mankind. And do you not agree that humans need guidance? I am sure we all do. We all do need guidance. More than 2,500 years ago, a prophet and historian wrote, "It does not belong to man who is walking even to direct his step." And that is Jeremiah 10:23. Today, the truthfulness of that statement is more evident than ever. Thus, historian William H. Neal notes, the human adventure on the face of this planet has been an almost uninterrupted series of crises and disruptions of society's established order. And the Bible fills all our needs for wise direction. True, so true. Many are overwhelmed when they first look through the Bible. It is a big book. And some portions of it are not easy to understand. But if you were given a legal document outlining what you had to do in order to receive a valuable inheritance, would you not take the time to study it carefully? I'm sure you would, because it is an inheritance at stake. If you found certain parts of the documents hard to understand, likely you will get the help of someone experienced in such matters. So why not approach the Bible with a similar attitude? Fair enough. In Acts 17:11, more is at stake than a material inheritance. And as we learned in the previous chapter, the knowledge of God can lead to everlasting life. Let us examine the book that reveals the knowledge of God. Let us examine the Bible. We will first give a brief overview of the Bible. And we will discuss reason why many informed people, you'll find out like what the Bible contains. The Bible contains the 66 books in two sections of 10 called the Old Testament and the New Testament. 39 Bible books were written mainly in Hebrew and 27 in Greek. The Hebrew scriptures consisting of Genesis to Malachi cover sorting as well as the first 3,500 years of human history. And so examining this part of the Bible, we learn about God's dealing with the Israelites from their birth as a nation in the 16th century before Christ. On into the 5th century BCE, the Greek scriptures continue in the book of Matthew through Revelation and so on. You have to put your Bible to good use. And so perhaps you have attended religious services for years and have heard some of the Bible read aloud. Or you may have read excerpts from it yourself. Did you know that the Bible has a common thread from Genesis through Revelation? Yes, it has a harmonious theme permeates the Bible. And what is that theme? It is the vindication of God's right to rule mankind and the realization of his loving purpose by means of his kingdom. And so later, we will see just how God will fulfill his purpose here on earth. I want to thank you this evening for listening. I want to really thank you for listening. And I pray that this was a blessing to you, God's word. And I pray today that your heart was filled. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your loving word today, that you had given me the unction to deliver your word as a conduit, Lord. I pray somebody would come to know you as Lord and Savior, somebody would understand your word, and as you give them receptive heart. And so, Lord, continue to use me to bring honor and glory to your name. And as I pray for the brothers at BBS radio station, those who are fully in charge, I pray, Lord, that you will bless their business, you will prosper them, keep them, Lord, and help them, and protect them from all harm and danger. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Have a blessed week, everybody, in Jesus' holy name. God bless you. Bye-bye.